You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football at large for sportingandnews.com. And here we are with our first off-season podcast for 2018. Super Bowl 52 is in the books. We'll break that down, and we'll look ahead because we know what the Eagles did. They beat the Patriots, and congratulations to them. They're having the parade as we speak here on the show. Good victory, 41-33 in the game. But we're looking forward to fantasy and seeing what's coming up for both of these two teams, and that's what we'll do on today's show. So quick recap of the season. Very good, very unpredictable all the way through the end with the Eagles and their performance here. So pretty exciting stuff. Nick Foles had to play out of his mind to outduel Tom Brady, and that's what we got in this one. Down to the last quarter, back and forth affair. You had Foles go for 373 yards and 3 TDs, 28 for 43, was just on fire. Then he had that receiving TD on the Philly special fake pass play there, where Trey Burton found him in the end zone. So big game for Foles. He scores 4 TDs to help the Eagles win. You have, on the other side, Tom Brady, 505 and 3. So these guys were going at it. Both guys had 28 completions in the game. It was just a terrific matchup of quarterbacks and a fantasy football bonanza there. So takeaway from the season is that a lot of great quarterback play still in this league. Some surprises for sure that you always have to be aware of. If you had the Eagles guys for the season, Wentz and then Foles, you were in great shape and probably won some fantasy football championships as well. So it is terrific to see more teams get involved, and there's a lot of surprise teams out there that we can look to for 2018, kind of maybe being what the Eagles were. So good end of the season here. Then now the questions begin, both with the Patriots, both the Eagles. One team already having some changes, one team about to have changes related to the other team keeping their offensive coordinator. So we'll break that down for you. Let's start with the Patriots, the losers. It's always the hard team here coming off a loss. The Patriots have managed to recover well. We know that from their losses to the Giants there in Super Bowls 42 and 46. We know they've come back and won titles after that, but there's a bit of a crossroads here in New England. We know things are not going to go away when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are there for another season, which 100% is going to be true. So we know Brady's going to be around. We know he's playing at a high level. So he's still going to be out there as a fantasy guy. We trust him. The big news that we found out yesterday was that Josh McDaniels will be staying as the offensive coordinator as well. We thought he was a done deal, gone to the Indianapolis Colts as their head coach, but there he is. McDaniels stays put there, and why not? With Tom Brady having this big, big game, just continuing to crush it, he's going to be 41, having a career high there in a Super Bowl, 505 yards, a record for the game in passing yards. You wanted McDaniels to be intact. We were worried if there was a switch there in the coordinator, how would Brady respond, especially as he gets older, but now you don't have to worry about that. Things will go full speed ahead for the Patriots offense. So there are some other changes, though, around the quarterback that we're going to be watching out for sure. We'll start at his receiving core. You have a question mark now. Rob Gronkowski's dangled the word retirement out there. There are rumors that he wants to quit and go into acting. He's 28, getting closer there to 30. He's had a lot of wear and tear in this league, back injuries, anything you can name, knee. Now he had the concussion that he had to be cleared for to play against the Eagles in Super Bowl 52. So I can see Gronkowski after a long season where he doesn't really play full seasons a lot. Keep that in mind. Long season, got beat up a lot all the way through the end. Had a monstrous game, 9 catches, 116 yards on 15 targets. there and two TDs against the Eagles. So he's at the top of his game. He's in his prime. He's Brady's go-to guy still here, and had a remarkable season where he stayed mostly healthy until the end, missed one game in between there with an injury. So you look at Gronk, obviously we think he can still play and he's going to play at a high level. With the full season of the books of him dominating, I think he'll go back to being a guy that you draft right around that wide receiver one range as early as the third round going in. So Gronk, we can see why he's talking about retirement a little bit because, again, the wear and tear, the nature of his position, very physical. He's got everything he needs. He's got a Super Bowl championship in his past. He's got a lot of accolades. He's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He has done everything he can for the game. So it would not surprise me if he walks away. If not, this coming offseason, maybe the next one coming up, especially if the Patriots go back to the game and win. So that's something we'll have to watch. Now in the receiving corps, Danny Amendola is a free agent. The indication that he'll return, but you do have Julian Edelman. You got Chris Hogan, Edelman coming back from the injury. Hogan playing very well in the Super Bowl as well. 6 catches, 8 yards for 128 yards and a TD. Amendola, another big playoff game. 8 catches for 152 yards on 11 targets. So Amendola, you figure, is going to be around, but they might not be able to keep both Edelman and Amendola. Amendola could cash in elsewhere, but he's on the older side. Remember, he's been around for a while as a veteran. So the Patriots, I think, would like to bring him back. I don't know if there's going to be a huge market for him outside New England. So they'll do their best. But if Amendola, for some reason, walks, that's fine. They'll just go with Edelman and trust him to come back and be effective. We know we've seen them plug in these guys in the slot, whether it's Wes Welker or Edelman or Amendola. They seem to get the job done with whoever's in there. But I think Amendola knows his best fit is with the Patriots as well. Now we go to the backfield. James White, again, nice Super Bowl, 7 carries, 45 yards, and a TD. He also added 2 catches for 21 yards and 6 targets. So the connection was a little bit off, but James White, again, Super Bowl time was the key guy here. And Deion Lewis, they really didn't go with the run, even though he had some success. 9 carries for 39 yards. Didn't get involved in the passing game at all in this one. So when you look at Lewis, this is going to be interesting because he is a free agent. Patriots typically don't splurge to keep backs. I think it's going to behoove him to check out the free agent market. There are going to be some teams that are going to pay him. He showed what he can do. He's a good bargain in free agency because we know he's a dynamic kickoff returner as well as a receiver, and now proved to be a very strong runner as well to carry some early down work. So Lewis is a complete back here, and that's how teams are going to look at him. They're going to be careful because he's 28, 29 there in that transition, but he has limited mileage on him for a back of his age, given some of the things, twists and turns, the injuries he's had before with the fibula and knee. So Lewis still has more mileage. He's proved that he's pretty much at full speed still. So we'll have to see how that breaks down for them going forward. But I would imagine they're going to move on. Rex Burkhead is also a free agent. They only signed him to a one-year deal. So Burkhead and Lewis, they're going to have to make a decision there. This backfield could go back to White. They're definitely disappointed with Mike Gillisley, who's just been inactive near the end of the season. He was a big part of their offense early, scoring the 3 touchdowns in week one. But again, this backfield could be in motion, so to speak, and another reboot here for the Patriots. So it's every year you have to keep up with what they're doing back there. Remember, we started the year with Gillisley as the early down guy. James White is a third down guy. Burkhead getting some work in both capacities. We thought Lewis was a distant fourth as the incumbent, but he came on strong down the stretch, carried the ball a lot, looked very good, and now he still could be moving on. So that's the nature of the Patriots' backfield. It's always unpredictable. Now we look at the offensive line, and there's some question marks there as well. The two right tackles, Cameron Fleming and Adrian Waddle, are free agents. They keep in mind they have Marcus Cannon, who they really love and is a solid right tackle, who's going to come back from injury. So I'd imagine that they might keep Fleming for depth because he's versatile, but I don't think they'll keep Waddle, the former Brown or the former Lions player there who started for them. But he didn't start near the end of the season. He was hurt. Fleming already took over. So I think Fleming is a guy they could keep just because of the potential there to play either tackle, and also Nate Solder, the left tackle, is a free agent. So they're going to have to shuffle up that offensive line a little bit. Cannon's return is going to help. They do have fine guys in the interior there with David Andrews, the center, Shaq Mason, and Joe Thuney. So that part of the Patriots line is fine for the running game, the interior for sure. But they could have some major turnover at the tackles here. So Cannon is a stud, so they'll be okay. So they might have to fill in left tackle. It'll be interesting if they bring back Solder, go to Fleming. I just don't see Waddle in this mix at all. He was highly ineffective this past season. Maybe they could go draft someone as well to take over left tackle for Brady. But I expect they want some kind of continuity and veteran, and I think they could easily go Fleming here because he's going to be cheaper than Solder to retain. And otherwise, Brady's older, but we know he keeps himself in impeccable shape. You've watched that Tom versus Time on Facebook. Outstanding program to see how he just gets it done year after year. And Brandon Cooks, good first year in New England. Unfortunately, the Super Bowl ended with a hard hit by Malcolm Jenkins where he only could have one catch for 23 yards before departing. That's a development we'll have to see. Full offseason with Brady to see how that develops. That chemistry did take some time this year. It was a bit hit or miss, big player or not in this game. And obviously the future of Gronkowski is going to play a role in how much Cooks gets targeted as well as if they keep Amendola as well as Edelman there. So Cooks, good first season overall, was very fantasy football effective with his big plays, but also had some games where he disappeared. So we'll have to see if he gets any higher in the pecking order. We know he's still going to return as a deep threat, and you know he's going to be better with his connection with Tom Brady. Now make sure you're listening to great podcasts on the Locked On NFL Network. We have Locked On Eagles. They were terrific for you, breaking down everything that happened up to the Super Bowl and now coming out of the Super Bowl. Locked On Patriots, kind of breaking down the disappointment of losing in the Super Bowl and all that. And then to tie everything together, looking at the teams ahead of time, all the teams ahead of time for their future and how they're going to develop. You have Locked On NFL Draft with John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. They had their Senior Bowl reports just now. It's going to ramp up here as they get more and more information going into the combine. So Locked On Eagles, Locked On Patriots, Locked On NFL Draft, Locked On Fantasy Football. You're covered throughout the offseason here on the Locked On NFL Network. Proud to be a part of it and proud to keep bringing you some timely podcasts in the offseason. Now let's flip over to the Eagles side of things, the victorious Eagles side of things in Super Bowl 52. We have to start at the top with Nick Foles. What a great MVP performance for him. And he got Carson Wentz having that torn ACL he suffered on December 10th. And Foles, there were some question marks early, but the two things that really helped him were having the extra week between the end of the regular season, the playoffs, and then having the extra week between the NFC playoffs and the Super Bowl. You saw if he settled in with a game plan and he's in a groove with his wide receivers and what Doug Peterson's doing to call plays, that Foles can be amazing here. So Foles has a shot here because we can't assume Carson Wentz is going to come back healthy immediately in week one. Could take him a few weeks. He's going to do his best because he knows that Foles is pushing on him here. But Foles did everything the coaching staff liked. Remember, Peterson was there when they drafted him in Philadelphia. So he's seen the evolution. He's seen how this team's got comfortable. There's some other teammates as well that have seen Foles as a leader. They really liked Wentz, but I wrote that article for SportingNews.com that it was not the greatest style of play that they wanted from Wentz. He was a little bit of a wild card, just reckless abandon a little bit. It was exciting to watch, but Foles played more within the system. He delivered. The numbers aren't an accident that he just took over and was and kind of comparable and in some ways better than Wentz. So long thing ahead of us, but the bottom line is you want the keys to this Eagles offense. Whoever's there, if you're going Wentz, you want to have Foles early on your fantasy team, but it's just a very good passing offense built where there's so many weapons and diversity that's going to help the quarterback no matter what here. So that's the thing, is you can't ignore Foles if he continues to play here. Say September and October, making some starts for Carson Wentz. He's going to get all the reps as the starter during the offseason. He's going to be more and more comfortable with his receivers, having full time to spend with them. He's already very much in a comfort zone with Peterson's offense. They tailored some of the things to Foles' skill set a little bit more. So again, I just don't see Foles not being a factor here in fantasy. As long as Wentz is out, and Wentz, you're going to be a little bit more buyer beware on him in the draft. Because of the injury, we're going to get timetables up the wazoo to know exactly when he'll be ready, but I just can't imagine, as we put a conservative timetable to around 9 to 12 months, that he'll be a guaranteed ready to go there, and that's going to make this an interesting situation to watch. Now, we go to his receiving core, and Trey Burton, I mentioned he threw the touchdown here. He's actually a free agent, so he could be leaving Philadelphia as well, looking to see what's out there for him. He's a backup tight end. He's really the number three, because Brent Celek is the blocking tight end behind Zach Ertz. So, again, Burton could move on here, maybe cash in, find a home as a more regular receiving tight end, or maybe a passing tight end, the way he threw that ball to Foles, but that's going to be something to watch. Darren Sproles, coming off the injury, he is going to be 34, 35 in that range. So they got Corey Clement. I don't see them having any reason to bring back Foles. Clement was pretty awesome in this game, the Super Bowl. Four catches for 100 yards, including a 55-yard play and a touchdown in this one. So Clement pretty much has turned over into a very solid third down back and a good red zone wrinkle for the Eagles, the undrafted rookie. So they got to be pleased with him. He's a pretty decent kickoff returner as well. They also have Kenyon Barner for that element. So there's really no reason to keep Sproles at this point. I know that it was a tough blow early, but Clement really stepped up and got that job done. Now, Nelson Agholor, he had nine catches for 84 yards on 11 receptions there. Big game of the Super Bowl. He's locked in as a key target here. He had Torrey Smith play very well in the Super Bowl as well, with five catches for 49 yards on nine targets. Alshon Jeffrey was eight targets, but caught three for 73 and a touchdown, including a 34-yard play there. So he did his job, and then Zach Ertz scoring that eventual game-winning touchdown there. Seven catches, 67 yards on nine targets, and a TD. So good distribution all around. I think Agholor, Ertz, Smith, Jeffrey, and Clement are going to be this team's weapons going forward primarily. So you look at that, really, you just didn't have Sproles in the lineup. Clement got the job done. And the takeaway here is that Jay Ajayi was pretty much limited to being a rushing back here for the Eagles, even though he was a big factor as a receiver for a lot of the season. I think there was a conscious effort where they were going to spread the ball around to their wide receivers and tight ends, and then look at Clement as the only guy that they employ out of the backfield in the passing game. So that's one thing to keep in mind with Ajayi as well, is that he's not going to be given the feature back role quickly, because remember, LeGarrette Blount had more carries in this one, 14 carries for 90 yards and a TD. He was the better, more effective back here. Ajayi was just effective for the most part, just a little less, so nine carries for 57 yards. So I don't think there's anything guaranteed here where Ajayi will take a feature back role now. He looked pretty good going into this game, but they only gave him nine touches, which kind of weird. They turned this into kind of a shootout and got some massively big plays here from Foles that made things less dependent on the running game, especially when they didn't get it into a shootout. With the Patriots, they went to the air often here. So Jai, again, limited role there. Blunt, however, is looking at free agency as well, so you have potential there for him to move on. So I would expect Ajayi and Clement to really form the chunk of this backfield in 2018. And again, the receiving core is not going anywhere. Jeffrey was locked up. He got a one-year deal initially, but then they extended him during the season, so he's good to go. Zach Ertz is in a good spot. So Torrey Smith and Agholor are going to be part of this team as well. So good stability there for the Eagles passing game as we go forward. So those are the main things here. And the Eagles still could see some changes, either Frank Reich or John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach respectively, leaving. But Peterson has a big imprint on this offense, so we'd expect the success to continue in Philadelphia regardless who's quarterback. And keep that in mind. I think from a fantasy perspective, This is just a very deep and productive offense. It has one of the best offensive lines in the league. It's going to get Jason Peters back probably for another season at left tackle to shore that position back up. But you look at Brandon Brooks and having Lane Johnson on the right side, plus Jason Kelce as your center. This helps a lot of the Eagles do what they want in the skill positions because of what they do up front. And in the end, they won on both sides up front, and this is why the Eagles are the Super Bowl champions coming out of Super Bowl 52. So there you have it. There's another edition of Lockdown Fantasy Football. We'll had to look at the Eagles and Patriots there coming out of this game before we can move on. We'll do some more fun stuff here. Free agency is around the corner, so we'll load that up for your shows next week. We're excited about that, where we can dive into free agency first, then we'll get more into the draft here to kind of take a look at these teams going forward and what their fantasy football outlooks can be made there as they kind of formulate their offseason plans. So for Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. You can, again, follow me on Twitter at Vinny Iyer. Follow me at SportingNews.com. Also, my Facebook page at Vinny Iyer. And we'll have all the good details and the articles I have up, as well as the podcast here if you miss a show. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We will see you next time.